Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Good to see you. It's good to see all of you that I can't see as well. Oh, they're blossoming. The buds are opening. New flowers appear. Oh, you ever feel distracted?
Yep. Yes, I do.
If I know what distracted means, yes.
I did. What? Okay. Sorry, a messenger just came to my door. A messenger. Maybe the Lord's speaking, so distraction. If you look all around you, you'll find a distraction every place you look. You think?
Except for if you welcome the Lord in, you know.
Hey, there you go. So if you're distracted, if you feel like you're distracted, if you can't get undistracted, or if you're not sure whether you're distracted or not, ask the Lord to come into it with you. Paul makes a good suggestion.
Ask the Lord.
You can remute yourself, please. That would be helpful. Thank you. During the worship or just before that, I was alerted. Does anyone have a word or anything?
I just have a scripture that came to mind. I didn't find it when I looked for it, but it's one I read this week about where it says, "My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And actually, I wasn't thinking of that one in specifically. I was thinking of I just lost it. I'm sorry, but that comes to mind. And once I think of the other one, I'll let you know either now or never.
Whenever would be okay. Never? I wouldn't say that.
If I can gather myself, my mind, maybe I can.
Remember. So, gather your thoughts and you can revisit it. I liked the part that was clear. God's ways are higher than mine and yours. It's always good to remember. And I would like to remind all of you that God can speak through any of you, and actually that he will. So I would really like to encourage all of you to be sensitive to and thinking about and watching for the moments where the Lord might be asking you to bring something out for others. Sometimes people don't realize something's for others, but a lot of the time I think it's just hesitancy. It's a little bit of a lot of things, maybe a little insecurity, a little doubt, fear of something, but God made us all to be marvelous new creations, and he wants to bring things forth from us, and all of us are strengthened by all of us, and it should go every direction so that every part gets what every part has to offer, and every part gets what all the other parts have to offer. So I just want to encourage you all to believe that you are a gift to the body that's needed and good and helpful, And then we just all need to have patience with each other, because we're all learning how to be that, how to receive it, how to give it, how to, you know, just regulate ourselves. And for those of you that are a lot younger than 61, I'll just say that for most of us, it takes a good many years to learn to regulate really well. I'll let you know at the point where I get there. Ha, ha, ha. What do you think? So, but the Lord will help us all to regulate and to understand and to love each other and to be patient. And then as we're going from glory to glory, it will just become more glorious. So once again, even though I only see letters for some of your faces, nonetheless, I see your faces as that which is unseen, and every one of them is a gift from God. I hope you see that when you look in the mirror. I hope you know that He's made you to be that when you look in the mirror and when you think of yourself and when you think of Him and invite Him into your own thought process. I think He really likes sorting through it all with us. The Lord made us because He wanted fellowship and friendship and communion. And He wanted company, and He wanted you. He wanted your company. And man, when I'm mentioning these things, I'm just starting to feel special. What about you? So, okay, so I'll just be really frank. I got another message earlier, before the worship started. It was something about bees. And so I got the feeling that maybe something had happened to the south end of my house, that perhaps a bear had shown up, for instance. And so I set my timer for 5 minutes. It's very spiritual, partly because I want my daughter to be able to go into the treehouse. Also because I thought, if there's like 3 million bees hovering around here later this afternoon, that might be a problem. So I put my bee suit on, set my timer for 5 minutes, and I ran over there, and sure enough, a bear had knocked apart the stuff that I had, supers and hive bodies with honey well wrapped on top of a table. And I will point out, by the way, this is my fault. See, because all spring I've been thinking, well, bears haven't been here yet. Well, they're definitely out looking around. Man, I'm surprised I haven't seen garbage spread all over here or there by the bears yet. Oh, I should move that stuff. The bear's going to come along. But, you know, I left it until tomorrow. And, you know, tomorrow, the bear will be here tomorrow. Oh, that's not the way it goes. So, anyway, it was guarded from bees and most other things, but it wasn't guarded from bears. And so it's just another example of, you know, we need to guard our hearts and minds. We need to be tuned in to what's coming from the enemy and what's just a practical matter to solve. It's good to be attentive to the things that just simply need to be taken care of. And sometimes when they're not, the bear shows up and knocks things around, and in this case, left unguarded honey and bees go absolutely crazy and wild with frenzy, and they come from every place when that happens. So I think I did a reasonably good job of cleaning that up in the 6 minutes I was over there, trying to wrap it, get it away from the bees, and hopefully the treehouse won't have a cloud of bees around it later today. But it's just a lesson in timeliness, something to pay attention to. So have you left anything sort of wrapped up, but still where the bear can get it this week or for the last 28 years or 30 years or 60 years or for a month or even just the last few hours? did you leave something out where the bear can get it? The devil roams around like a roaring lion seeking what who and what he can devour. And I want to inform you, if it's not clear to you already, maybe it is, that the devil does not have carte blanche. He does not have a permit to devour any of us. He can't get past the blood of Yeshua. But we can leave things exposed in a way that allows him to come and get to us, to accuse us, to bring doubts into our mind. And then the result can be that we doubt ourselves. We might doubt what the Lord's done in us. We might begin to accuse ourselves. Is there someone that's unmuted? I'm getting my voice coming back to me. Okay. Anyway, the battle is in the mind, and oftentimes the mind races so fast that it doesn't realize that the enemy is messing with it. And so I just really want to encourage you all to remember how much the Lord loves you. He doesn't come as the accuser. And speaking of that, with respect to, it's a double portion today, part of Acharimot, which is Leviticus 16, 18 through 30. Rashi comments on some things, and he says something about this one. So it says, the sages put forth a number of reasons why the high priest puts aside the gold garments during Yom Kippur. The ordinances for the holy day were given shortly after the sin of the golden calf. And Rashi explains that this sin remains as a prosecutor or accuser against Israel, demanding that Israel be punished during the crucial moments of the service, when the high priest is seeking atonement and forgiveness for Israel. It would be inappropriate for him to wear gold that would serve as a reminder of the calf. As the Talmud states, a prosecutor cannot become a defender. So I'm not sure if you followed that, but the accuser always accuses. I guess that's the job of the accuser, right? But our accuser is a false accuser. And I think when we're coming to the Lord, sometimes what happens is the accusations of the enemy kind of get partly into our own thoughts. And then we may begin to accuse ourselves too. And then we may possibly begin to think that we're hearing the voice of the Lord in the... We may begin to think that we're hearing the voice of the Lord in... Father, I just ask you for your help right now. And please, Lord, bless us all. Bring encouragement and truth and comfort and strength. And just help us, Lord, to hear you. Um, So I think I was saying that you may begin to somehow imagine that you're hearing the voice of the Lord making the accusation that the enemy made, and that you began to ponder, and that then you might have made against yourself. But I want to tell you that's not the voice of the Lord. He doesn't come to accuse us. He may come to bring up an issue, but he doesn't come with fear, dread, condemnation, and a club. He doesn't come with a message of failure and doom and darkness. So any of those flavors or conditions in your mental or spiritual sky, they aren't coming from the Lord. He doesn't put us into darkness. He doesn't speak ill to us of what we are in him. And he doesn't come to pronounce that we're going to fail, that we're not going to make it, that we're not good enough. So I'm going to back up a little bit. I think I promised you a little bit more of Perky a Vote. But I'm going to read you the meaningful minute from the Heritage Desk Planner again, because this one's a good one. It says, it's very long, so, you know, brace yourselves and listen carefully. Focus on the good in yourself, in your spouse, in your children, and you will move forward. Not as long as you thought, huh? So, focus on the good in yourself, in your spouse, in your children, in the person next to you, in the face of whoever you meet, and you'll move forward. Sounds so simple. It sounds to me in agreement with things that the scriptures say about dwelling on the good, whatever is excellent, whatever is worthy of praise, whatever is of good repute. You know, those kind of things, dwell on these things and not on the others. So moving forward here then, last week from Perky a Vote, I mentioned the very beginning where it talks about Moses receiving the Torah at Sinai and then transmitting it to Joshua, who transmitted it to the elders, and then to the great men of the assembly. And then they said three things: be patient in justice, raise many disciples, and make a fence around the Torah. And as I said last week, that fence around the Torah thing, I won't get into right now. And I'll say it again. I won't get into that right now. I will just say that if you're looking at the Torah, and this reminds me, because it can happen to anybody, anytime. I got a message from far, far away, all of a sudden, kind of surprised me, from somebody that says, well, I'm going to sort of just give you the gist of it with maybe a little interpretation. Hey, I've been looking at the commandments that God gave, and I'm wondering if I should obey them. And hey, I'm thinking about which day is really the Sabbath, and should everybody observe that or what? And so I had a little bit of a discussion with the person, and I tried to focus it on the freedom that we have in Messiah, not the fences we can build around the things that are in the Torah, because you can get, I'll tell you a little bit about the fence thing. The reason the Book of Jewish Law, the Shulchan Aruch, I have a full copy of it in the house. It's in two volumes that are about an inch and 3/8 thick each. And I think there are 1,500 commandments in there, just for the Shabbat. That's what I've heard. And so when I look at the Torah, you know, the written Torah, it doesn't seem to give 1,500 different things about exactly how to observe Shabbat. There may be 1,500 things, but I think they're in the spirit of observing the Shabbat. So, in other words, if you enter into the Sabbath with the Lord, and you're not just seeking your own pleasure, and you're seeking Him, which, by the way, will become your pleasure and your delight, then you probably pretty much got all the Sabbath commandments under control, and you don't need to worry you missed any. Are you following me? So, when we start trying to figure God out sometimes, and we go, oh man, that's a really good passage. Oh, I really love that thing that he said to do or not to do. And then we go, oh man, this might just be the best of all commandments. Maybe I can just make this super difficult and apply myself to just applying it in every possible way I can imagine, and it'll be so fun. And then pretty soon, you know, you're depressed. Because when you start coming up with all that stuff, it's like watching the movie where the hero does everything right and he's completely victorious, and then you know the next morning you're going to get up and be exactly like him. Right? And it's never like that. But the feeling is so real as the movie closes and that music plays and it massages your soul and it gives you such hope of being a totally different person tomorrow morning. And you decide you're going to be. And then the sun comes up and so-and-so says that thing they say. And then you do back what you did before, and all of a sudden the whole thing is dashed. But there is hope. It's not in the movie hero. It's in the Lord. So, anyway, the next little bit of Perkei Avot. Are you loving Perkei Avot so far? Is just this. Shimon the righteous was one of the last of the men of the great assembly. He used to say, the world stands upon three things: the Torah, the temple service, and the practice of acts of piety. What do you think? Are any of you like some of the grade school kids I remember in my class that begged the teacher to read a little more of the story when she stopped? Oh, please read a little more of Perkei Avot. Please, please. Any of you? Oh, there are a couple. you know, I agree with what I try to do is find what I can agree with. It's like my aim, even though I miss it sometimes, is to always be ready to do that thing that the guy's last name was Markham. I should have it in front of me, but it, you know, it starts. He drew a circle that left me out. But anyway, it ends with heretic. Something heretic, this or that, a thing to flout. Anyway, then it says, but love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. And I've been so reminded of that circle lately and how small that circle can be drawn, and how many people can so easily be left out, and that the people that sometimes we ourselves might want to leave out desperately need the Lord in us and the grace that he gives to find the way to draw a bigger circle that takes that person in, that they could come and know the Lord like we do and step into the light and see his love and provision for them and their need. not in condemnation or in seeing how terrible and rotten they are, but in having the great love and purity, power and righteousness and holiness and redemption of God revealed to them. And I just really have this desire to see all those that name the name of the Lord begin to look with a different sort of eyes at people and see their humanity, and then begin to pray that the Lord will show us the human being and not their politics or their thoughts about this or that that we might despise or that upset us, and not to think that somehow we can win if we just come up with a brilliant enough argument or a great jab, which I hope none of us think jabs ever bring anyone to the Lord, but just to see the humanity in humanity, and that a lot of times when it comes to sides, they aren't so crystal clear as they look, and people are not necessarily at all the way we assume them to be because of a few things that came from them toward us or that we may have witnessed, and also that they may have seen us and had no idea the love that lurked somewhere deep inside of us that's really meant for them. Where was I? The world stands upon three things. The Torah, well, the Word of God, I believe it does. The world came to be by the Word of God. He spoke and it was. And the world remains because of his power. It holds together because of him. And then the temple service, well, you know, God has mercy because of the presence of the righteous. And I want to tell you that you are the righteous. Stop telling yourself, if you do, that you are not among the righteous, because God has made you righteous by the righteousness of his Son and attributed his perfect work to your account. And he is helping you to become more like Yeshua as things go along. And yes, you are. And yes, you can. And he's helping you, and he will help you, and he's not going to leave you or forsake you. He's not going to leave unfinished what he begun. Encourage yourself with the truth that the Lord is telling you about yourself. And if you're not sure what that is, just start looking at his promises. Just start reading the things he says about the new creation he made you to be. Read Psalm 139 once a week or once a day or every hour. Figure out how oftentimes you need to read it. It can be very healing, simply just that psalm. And tell yourself the truth. Build yourself up with the truth. And then ask the Lord to strengthen you to supply to others the things that he particularly is placing in you for them. It's not just for us. It's also for others. And so, yes, the world stands upon God's word. The Torah is a word used to apply to all of Scripture. And then the temple service. Well, yeah, he has mercy because of the righteous. He's made us to be the righteous. He's made us to be his temple. And so, yeah, you know, if the temple that God's building with living stones, both in heaven and on earth, was not there, then I suspect the world would implode. It's never going to happen, but yes, it depends on who God is, what he has said, and on the temple that he built out of us, because he's chosen us to be his hands and feet to bring the gospel to the needy, to the lost, to the ugly, to the despicable, to the ones that we would never naturally like, but whose faces we should see breathtaking and needy humanity, and when we gaze upon them. So, and the practice of acts of piety. Well, what do you think? Is the world founded upon your acts of piety? I don't know. Does piety sound like too, I don't know, flowery a word or no? I think we might be able to embrace that if we think of acts of true righteousness, and the Lord has called us to perform acts of righteousness befitting with repentance. And so if we think about the work that the Lord wants to do in the world through those that he has already called to himself, then I think maybe we can embrace that too. Not that, oh, we'll go out and do a bunch of good stuff and that's going to hold the world together, but we'll go out and do what God created mankind to do. And that is part of the process of God upholding the world and keeping it together in order to extend his patience and bring as many people into his kingdom as possible, because he is not willing that any should perish, but that everyone should believe in his son and have eternal life. So thus ends the second tiny little clip of Perkia Vote. And I don't know if anyone here knows how long it is. Does anyone know?
I forget exactly, but it's not terribly long.
It's not terribly long. I love precision. It reminds me of, Dad, are we there yet? Now, if you got six kids in a car, well, no, it wasn't six of us. By that time, it may have only been four. But on a 2,000-mile trip, there's a lot of, Dad, are we there yet?
I think it's like eight chapters, if memory serves me correctly.
But how thick are they? Not sure. Anyway, so where were we? We're all right here together. Oh man, some of you are deep in thought. So I'm just going to take a quick look at a couple of verses here. I've been thinking about, I don't know, does anybody ever try to run away from God? Anybody ever hear, no matter wherever you are, no matter where you go, there you are? So how about this? I ran from myself and could not get away. I could not move fast enough to get anywhere before me. What do you think? And can the light from the floodlight get anywhere before it illuminates the thing? Can it? I'm getting different answers. Someone's a physicist at a very high level. Can it arrive at the bottom of a darkened pit and the bottom still be in the dark? If I can't get away from me, how will I get away from the Lord who fills heaven and earth? He's everywhere. Even, it says in the scriptures, even unto the heaven of heavens, I forget exactly how it says, he's there You know, there, how many heavens are there? Does anyone know? Well, it's very, very vast. No matter how high you go, you can't get away from him. He fills everything. He's everywhere. And so since you can't go anywhere where he's not, and you can't get away from yourself, running just doesn't seem like that good of an idea. It actually just doesn't even seem that smart. Not that smarts are what get the job done. So, you know, Jacob leaves on his journey when, well, his brother wanted to kill him, a common occurrence in families, right? And he leaves on his journey, and then, he's in this place, and the Lord says this to him, "Look, I am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob woke up, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." Have you ever been in a place where you weren't aware the Lord was there? Was it a nice place or a scary place? A dark place or a light place? He's always there. And then another one. "And again, I tell you truly that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered, there, together in my name, there I am with them." Now, here's a trick. Does it apply to Zoom meetings? Are we gathered or aren't we? Well, I'm going to submit to you that for those of you that have a technical bent and say, "Well, I don't see how that could really be a gathering," I'm going to read this from Colossians to settle the matter. If there is no contention, don't let me know, because I need the argument at the moment, okay? Paul says to the Colossians, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love." Oh, can you imagine yourself being part of the yarn and being knit together into something with me and Rowan and Bill and John and Paul and Rose Lane and Olga and Deb and Sylvie, Greg, Jonina, Alana, Elaine, Ruth Anna, Walter, iPad 2. Oh, no, that's not a
and
person.
And Miriam.
And oh, Miriam and David. Actually, once I got going, I thought I better try not to miss Ed Peters.
And even us.
And and even my son and daughter-in-law and grandchild. Okay, so, "And their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding." Did you know wealth comes from the full assurance of understanding of what Messiah has done for us? Wealth. You're rich. You want to know how to get richer? Get a fuller understanding of all that Messiah has done for you. Richer and richer and richer. And resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Messiah himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, and even though Zoom has not even been invented yet, and Al Gore has not yet created the internet, even despite all of that, Paul says, Even though I am absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and stability of your faith in Messiah. So, if Paul could be with the Colossians and the Laodiceans, and by the way, that's two different places, then we're together when we have a Zoom meeting and we're gathered together. We're gathered together. So if we get together and we agree on things, the scriptures say that the Lord is with us. And the scriptures also say that whatever we ask in his name, he will give us, that he'll grant us our requests. Then it says later in the same book, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son. I wanted to read it. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And with love, draw a circle. Have the wit to win. You in love have the wit to win. Draw a circle and take them in. I know I can't add it to the passage, but you get my drift here, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And then just another thing about God's presence. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. The Lord is, he's everywhere. He finds us. He comes looking no matter what we did, no matter how we feel, no matter where we are, no matter whether we think we did well or poorly. He's there, and he comes looking for us, even though he knows where we are. Still, he looks for us. He comes looking. He wants to know us. And he wants to build us up and train us and comfort us, to strengthen us, and to enable us as his body to bring God's love, the love of Messiah, to everyone and to every place. And he's always with us. Earlier in the passage from 1 Corinthians, part of it was, you were washed and made holy. There's reference to what some of them, what some of us were. Reference to what all of us, in one way or another, were. And when it says, such were some of you, it is saying that the old is gone and new things have come. I realize that's another passage. What we were, you all know that what you were, even yesterday, doesn't matter. It doesn't determine what you are. It doesn't determine the future. It didn't dye you with a dye that the blood of Yeshua can't wash out. Nothing you ever did, nothing you think you ever were or actually may have been, can do anything against the blood of Yeshua applied to your life. He's made you clean. He's made you a new creation. He's given you all the riches of heaven and the power to go and do the things that he's fitted you for. And so we should be encouraged to believe that we will accomplish what the Lord has for us, as he is faithful to complete the work that he began in us. And he loves you all so much. He just delights to make us fruitful. And in this strange time we're in, I just invite you to take the opportunity to just ponder who you are, what he's made you to be, and what the opportunities are right now because of what's happening, and what the opportunities will be because of everything that's happened as things go forward. When things begin to change, there's great need out there. There are many people that have been shaken up, that are in actual, you know, really difficult situations. And I'm not happy that anyone is in a hard situation, but the Lord uses the circumstances in the world to bring people to a place where they are ready to hear and receive things that they were closed to before. There may well be a great many of them within reach of us that the Lord's wanting to tenderize our hearts about and open our eyes about, so that we can feel and see and notice when they come into view and receive from him what he wants to do through us, receive from him what he wants to give them through us, whether it be practical or emotional. Well, not that emotional things can't be practical, but just some help with something, just a loving word, just a willingness to begin a conversation or enter into one that someone else starts, and then be led into something far more than it looked like, because God had a plan that we couldn't see. But if we see ahead as seeing what's unseen, we'll be sensitive to the opportunities, and will help us prepare ourselves, and also, you know, just be ready. So I want you to know that you're a gift to the world, and that God wants to give the gift of Yeshua to more people, and that it matters if the people that name his name hold together, stay together, worship together, seek the Lord together, and then do his work with the support of the rest of us, whether that's something we do individually or as a group. So I think I'm done. I just the Lord's a really big, strong, mighty, powerful, merciful, kind, loving, and he likes you, I think. I think he likes you. He likes you. He doesn't love you because he has to. He likes you. He wants you. You're special. So, just receive what he has. Ask him for it. Take it in. And he'll help you. He'll help you with the stuff. All the stuff. So, all right. Father, bless your people. Build them up. Comfort them and fill them with good things. And Lord, bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'echunecha. Isa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom.